Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, here to help you find success in all areas of your life. The power is in your hands. Join our network for free at besteveryou.com. And now, here's Elizabeth.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Best Ever You Show. We are kicking off the fall season, the fall 2023 season. I've been doing this show since, I don't know, before time began, 2010, a really long time before podcasts were podcasts. We were one of the first shows out there on Blog Talk Radio, and now we're syndicated everywhere, and it's all because of you. So thank you very much for listening and sharing the show and doing everything that you can do to embrace the guests we bring on. And speaking of that, I have Jared Lemieux with me. He's the manager of the Lake Erie Crushers. Jared, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. You know, I found you. I found you. It was fun to find you, too. I was kind of poking my nose around at people from Maine who are doing things in the larger setting of baseball, and there you were. And reachable, too. I really appreciate that. You really answered your own email in a time, place, and space where that probably could have gone to spam and be left alone. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I try and stay available.
Yeah, no, it's important. So this show, as most people know, if you're new listening, we're hosted from Maine. I live in Maine. And Jared is also from Maine originally and lives here probably in the off season or you know, whenever you're not doing things with baseball elsewhere. But you tell me all about you here in Maine. Did you grow up here? Were you born here?
Yeah, I was born in Portland, raised in Reedfield, Maine, which is just outside of Augusta. And a small town, one blinking stoplight, 2,000 people. Went to Marina Cook Community School, which brought four towns together, and really five. Some kids from Fayette went to school at Marina Cook, and you know, it was a small school, you know, living off a lake, not much to do, but play sports, do anything the school offered, and hang out with your friends. And we played a lot of wiffle ball when I was a kid and just kind of enjoyed spending time with each other.
Yeah, my whole front yard is a wiffle ball field. it's all wiffle ball all the time with four boys. It's wiffle ball.
Yeah, me and my brother, we put a field together in our backyard. You know, had all the boys over and spent many nights playing the game.
Yeah. Now, what's that like knowing that, so you're from the small town in Maine and you have a knack for baseball. Did you know that you had a knack for baseball as a little kid? How'd that go?
I loved it when I was a little kid, and I had the advantage of having a brother that was 2 years older than me. So I always was competitive. Trying to you know, get up to his level. So he was always able to push me. And, you know, my dad loved the game and helped coach us when we were young. And we really just had a good group of guys growing up that really enjoyed playing. And you know, when we were young, we went to a couple of, you know, state tournaments. You know, when we were 11 and 12, we made it to the state finals. We were runner-up. And then, you know, had some success early on. You know, when we were 13 in Babe Ruth, we won the state championship. And then in 14, we lost in the championship to Portland. I pitched that game. And then in 15, we won it again. So we're able to go do some cool things in the New England tournament and represent the state of Maine. And then had a lot of success, you know, in high school and middle school as well with the school programs, and won a couple state championships and went to three of them again, lost in extra innings in my junior year. But won it my sophomore year with my brother, which was really special for me. And then won it again our senior year. And I actually got to catch the state championship game. So, and I'm left-handed, so that's kind of rare. But yeah. I've loved the game the whole time. I like doing a lot of different sports. You know, I was a soccer player and a basketball player. And you know, going to a small school, you get the advantage of being able to kind of participate in as many things as you'd like, and it allowed me to try a lot of different things and find what my passions were, and And, you know, I fell in love with baseball and was able to play it in college at Bowdoin, did well there, and then coached there for a couple years after I played at Bowdoin. So then, you know, just kind of kept going with the game and onto a different role, you know, and kept, you know, just never lost the passion for it. It's something, baseball is a funny sport where every day you can see something new, and so you never lose the entertainment value of showing up to the ballpark. You never know what you're going to expect and what could happen each day. So there's always some pleasant surprise at the ballpark.
Yeah. You know, I, in listening to you, I can tell how humble you are as well. And it always amazes me how everybody remembers all of those moments, no matter how old we get or where we go or what we do, we know those moments. It's so fun.
Yeah.
And I think you skipped over one thing, though. You know, at Bowdoin College, you didn't just do well there. You were their Male Athlete of the Year in 2006. And you've also gone on to get your master's degree. And this is a day and age where there's a lot going on with student athletes. I'm going to go there if you don't mind, and just can you talk about to all the people listening, kids, whoever you are, about the importance of that student part of the student athlete?
Oh, of course. I mean, I chose Bowdoin because it was, you know, an academically competitive school. And, you know, it was close to home, but yeah, I always knew that academics were going to come first for me. I, you know, a small kid out of Maine, wasn't like heavily recruited by D1 schools. You know, you always got to keep that in mind because, you know, one day someone's going to tell you it's your last day playing, and you've got to be prepared for what comes next. And, you know, I always felt like it was important to be ready and prepared for that. You know, not only that, but, you know, doing the work it takes to be successful in the classroom it trains you in you know, your time management, how to learn, how to critically think, and that all plays out. You know, if you're selfish about the game, want to be good at the game, I mean, it's good to get good in the classroom too, because the game of baseball is a thinking man's game, and you got to know how to do it. You got to know how to think and how to prepare and how to step up to the plate in pressure situations like you're taking an exam and. You know, so it all kind of folds in together and you know, but again, you know, there was a scary moment for me my senior year. I was playing hockey actually in the off season and ended up breaking my ankle. So I thought I was nervous that, you know, my career was over, you know, my senior year before it started. But, you know, so there was some scary feelings to go through there. Had ended up having to get surgery and battle back from that, and, you know, got lucky where the surgery was successful, and I did a lot of rehab and was able to come back for the senior season, but there was a scary moment there for a while, and, you know, you never know when, you know, you're going to be done playing, and you got to be prepared for it, and that's why I always put academics first.
Yeah, no, I love that, and I appreciate that, and you going through that with us, because we as parents, especially four boys, sons, adult sons now, I guess I can call them boys, but they're, you know, they're in their 20s. You know, we've always stressed that student part of the student athlete for sure. And you're so right. And that is really hard when you have an injury, isn't it? We saw that this year at Georgetown with guys going down. My son Cam played for Georgetown and pitched at Georgetown. And he was one of the ones who was injured, and he was faced with that, oh my God, am I done here? You know, that it's a really, it's a scary feeling. It's almost, it can be depressing even. It's like, oh boy, you really got to, you've got to watch you guys, because you're so used to doing things on such a high level that when something like that happens, it's an adversity that you may or may not be trained to go through, right?
Right, right. And to be honest, that's why I love doing this job, is because, you know, through the game, some guys hit some very difficult moments to have to process. And having had experience myself going through it, I feel like I can be a useful resource for them to kind of bounce their feelings off and walk through that, you know, valley with them, yeah. and be there to support them and know that there's there's always going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. We had a guy go down towards Achilles, and it was, this was a big year for him. It was, he was doing well, and he was up, playing at a high level, and guys were looking at him, and then all of a sudden, he had this tragic injury, and it was hard, I'm thankful to be able to be there for them going through it, because now, we're a few months removed, and he's in a positive path and on his way to recovery, and it's happened in many different ways, with many different players. That you play this game long enough, and something's bound to break a little bit here or there, the body is right. only so strong, but it's such an impact sport that there's a lot of risk involved with it, but that's something I like being there for, that's why I do this, to be able to help these guys go through difficult situations, and be supportive.
Yeah, and so let's segue into the Frontier League. I'm going to jump a little around a little bit, because is that where you're in right now? You're the manager. The Lake Erie Crushers are in the Frontier League. Is that correct? I got
yep.
that right. Okay.
Yep.
What's the Frontier League?
Yeah, it's a MLB partnered independent baseball league. So it's a minor league, professional level. The players get paid and. So we are partnered with the MLB, and the MLB's gone through, some changes with their minor league operations and cut out some lower-level teams and developed a partnership with the independent leagues. And independent leagues have operated prior to a couple years ago, operated independent of MLB and was a professional baseball that was kind of separate. But another path for players who don't get drafted or aren't in affiliated baseball to continue playing and eventually get signed. Like, we had a guy signed off of our team 2 weeks ago and went right to AAA with the Los Angeles Angels. And so he's pitching, he's starting for the AAA team in Salt Lake for the Angels, And so it's the independent baseball realm is another type of ladder to get up to the big leagues. It kind of sits next to the affiliated ranks where players who are either released or haven't been drafted and are working their way up the ladder, it's just another way to do it. And it's, it's not owned by the MLB, so there's independent owners and operators. The managers at each independent team have a lot more control than at, the minor league levels where, the lineup and the pitching rotation and things get sent down to them from above, where in independent ball, the manager is basically, in charge of his own lineup, in charge of his own rotation, in charge of how much guys play, who stays, who goes. There's much more involved with being a manager on the independent level in that regard, but there are differences, strengths that are there for affiliated minor league ball managers, but there's a little bit more freedom in independent ball.
Yeah, and so tell me all about what you do for the Lake Erie Crushers. It's a cool name, by the way, the Lake Erie Crushers.
Yeah, the name comes from the it's kind of a wine and vineyard region of Ohio. So there's a lot of grapes, and so they kind of played off of that and called us the Crushers. So we're crushing grapes and making wine, but we crush baseball instead.
that's a perfect – I know, it's like that's a great thing to be called. We crush baseball, the tagline.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so tell me how you got involved. Like, how did you end up where you are, and what are all the things that you do?
Sure. So my title here is the field manager and director of baseball operations. So everything baseball kind of runs through me here, there's a lot of getting fans in the seats that I'm not involved in, but the product on the field is my main focus, and I'm the manager, so I make all the in-game decisions, the personnel and lineups and things like that, and You know, I do all the recruiting and scouting to bring players onto the team. You know, and I have a lot of say in the, you know, the operations budget, you know, and what we use for, you know, pitching machines and tools and gizmos and gadgets for the guys and, you know, make sure we have all the, we're all up to date in terms of what we can offer our players and, you know, work out, you know, partnerships with local gym. We have a partnership with a gym and the YMCA here. And, you know, I kind of, you know, put out the baseball product for the fans to come and enjoy. You know, a lot of time in my off season is spent scouting and recruiting and bringing in, you know, players that I think can be successful. And I do it, you know, to, you know, we want to win a championship. That's goal number one. But I also want to help guys, you know, move up to the next level. And like I did with J.D. Hammer, who's now in the Angels organization. You know, I think there's a lot of players here on our team and in this league that can compete at the affiliated level. And that's really the main focus of the league is to get guys the exposure they need to move on, move up, and climb the ladder of minor league baseball and hopefully one day be in the big leagues.
I love it. We talk a lot here at Best Ever U about dreaming big. Can you talk about that a little bit? Like we also talk about it and just elaborate a little bit in terms of somebody telling you, like naysayers around you, people who aren't, you know, on your team necessarily to help you dream big and achieve the things that you want to achieve in your life. Cause sometimes people have those lofty goals. And people around them are like, what do you want to go do? You know, can you address that?
Yeah.
Because this, I think it fits. Baseball to me, from what I've learned over the years through watching Cam and all you guys play, is that it's definitely got that dream big component of it. And if you get around the wrong person, they can squash you if you believe it.
Oh, for sure. For sure. It's a battle every day to block out. And even not only the fact that there's a team of 24 guys on the other side of the field trying to bring you down every day as well. But I think it's important for guys to maintain that, you know, and baseball's a tough game to continually have confidence in yourself because it's, you know, technically a game of failure in a lot of ways. But I think that's really, it is something that these players have to have because at this stage, you know, they're playing, you know, they're not making $1 million. They're playing for a little bit of money here and there, and they're playing because they love it. But that's why it's really important to have a good group of guys that believe in each other, because they can lift each other up when people or circumstances are trying to bring them down. And that piece, it cannot be valued greater. I mean, having teammates yourself and enjoy the process together is paramount, and they help each other in a lot of ways when the naysayers come around, when, you know, you have a bad game and the guy wants to interview you and things like that. And, you know, and people are always questioning, why are you doing that? Not making enough, you know, you could be making a lot more money doing something else. And
oh,
people don't
boy,
play
there's on. One.
Yeah. No, I've been told that my whole life,
I have too, believe it or not. When I started Best Ever U, people are like, "You need to get a real job." I'm like, "This is going to be my job, trust me." But
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's tough too, especially like I put out a post the other day in Facebook. I'm like, the climb to get to where I am right now has been a lot, and. And I didn't elaborate too far because some of the people know and whatever, but talk about the climb to get to where you are, because I bet it's not just like a upward trajectory, right? It's kind of
and it's one of the lessons I teach these guys is that the opportunities you have don't come around. They don't just keep coming around. You have to grab them when they do and put your whole self into it. And dive right in and do everything it takes to take advantage of those situations and put yourself in a position to be successful. I always say that's my job, is to try and get you in positions to be successful. And whether or not you have success, it ends up being on you a lot. And if you're not prepared or you haven't done everything you possibly can to be successful in those situations, then the outcome might not be the best. And a lot of guys really dive into that, and they get it. And some guys don't, and you have to remind them, hey, listen, what you're doing off the field and what you're doing to prepare yourself is, you know, it's going to impact your outcome here. And
yeah.
And even if it doesn't, even if you do still fail, at least you can fail without regret. And I think that's a big lesson for them to have, because some guys do have a lot of regrets after they leave the game and after all of a sudden, you know, somebody says it's time to go and they feel like they could have done something. I myself have had regrets as a player, because I feel like I could have left a little bit more on the table. But that's one thing we try and ensure in them or instill in them, that that you have to be ready and you have to do everything you can right now, because time is fleeting and the opportunities are fleeting. But you don't want to give them that sense of – sometimes you don't want to give them that, you know, because then that creates an anxiety and you just want them to go out there and have fun and play the game. So there's a balance. Some guys you push in different ways as players. But, yeah, you're right. There's peaks and valleys for sure. I mean, you know, I was just blessed to get – there was this one opportunity, you know, I was coaching junior college and I was really enjoying it. But you know, I was, you know, money was tight and I was like, I might have to do something else here because, you know, I got to be able to make a living. And,
yeah, I've had that moment here.
Didn't know
what, I didn't know what I was going to do next.
I was up in the North Main woods, on a deer stand, and I had decided to write an email to, the then owner of the Ottawa Champions, just stab in the dark, you know, and just I'm sitting there like, oh, I heard that there was a new team coming in independent ball up where I played for a season, and I figured, heck, why not just reach out and see what's happened? So I sent him an email, and he ended up getting back to me the next day and said, you know, there might be a spot for you here to coach. And you know, that's an opportunity you got to jump at, you know, because it's hard to get jobs in baseball. And, you know, so when an opportunity presents itself, you kind of got to grab it and drop everything in a lot of ways. Because it happens with these players. These guys are coming from all over the country and all over the world, really, to take these opportunities to play the game. And so I, you know, jumped at it, had an interview with Hal Lanier, who's the legendary manager. He was the manager of the year in the National League with the Astros in 1986, and he was managing the team. And talked to him, and he brought me in, and I was with him for 4 years. And then my career has grown into this opportunity. So, you know, you never know when the opportunity is going to strike, or, you know, if you have some inkling or an idea, go ahead and run with it. You never know what's going to happen. It could work out, and you know, it worked out for me in that.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah, you know. You know, there was, you know, I'm sitting there, you know, it's like an epiphany moment, you know, mm-hmm. where you're like, what am I doing next? What's the next step for me? And you just take a stab in the dark and and go for it. And it worked out for me. And it works out for a lot of people. It's funny how it works. You know, when you have those epiphany moments and you're like, do I jump or do I sit back and wait? And sometimes just taking that leap of faith and that risk can propel you into the next phase of your life. And now, thankfully, here I am as a manager myself after coaching for 7 years. So it's kind of funny how the world works.
Yeah, no, it's great. And did you know, like, go back to like little kid you at age 6, you know, have you always been the guy who was like, gather round, guys, let me tell you a story about and inspire you all? Were you always inspirational?
I don't know. I did have that little spark as a kid. More often a leader by example and just kind of kept having my positive energy and hoping it would rub off on other people. And it has for a long time, and you know, it's still with me today. I still try and have that positive you know, lighthearted approach to it, you know, because it's the stress can bear you down, especially in this game. It's like and it's funny because we've had a lot of games that have been tight late, you know, and the stress can get to you, and if you let it, and sometimes you got to brush it off and just be thankful for the moment and the opportunity to have a chance at success and have fun with it.
Bring in gratitude. This is my like all-time favorite like word. I'm a master life coach and I teach people to root in gratitude. Just root in gratitude. From there, all things are clear. Talk about gratitude. Do you have a team full of guys that know what gratitude is? And I'll tell you a little bit of a side note here. Our four kids were raised with the hashtag gratitude on the refrigerator. And for Christmas a few years ago, I got them all shirts that say hashtag gratitude and all stuff. So if I'm ever grumpy or in that spot, they go hashtag gratitude, mom. So I get it back at me. But talk about the guys on the team. Are they grateful? Do they really understand? I always worry about athletes, student athletes, wherever level you're on, because I don't quite ever think that people truly realize how cool they are, how gifted they are. I think people are like always down on themselves, like, oh, I suck, and oh my God, I struck out, or whatever it is. And I'm like, no, you're awesome. And do people feel that way? Or do they get it? Because it's a privileged group. I mean, that number shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. At the Frontier League, you're in an elite percentage of people still playing baseball.
Yeah, and sometimes you have to remind them that they're awesome because, you know, like I say, this game can be tragic at times and can tear your heart out if you let it. But especially because it happens one day after the next, and you get into those emotional moments every night, you know, and in front of thousands of people, and winning matters and success matters to these guys a lot. But, you know, as they go through the bumps and bruises, it is important to, you know, keep reminding them because as you just said with your kids, even you've had moments, you know, as someone who's been preaching this gospel forever, and we all do, everybody does, but it is important to reflect and, you know, take a moment and just, when you're in that space, go, wait a minute. I have to be thankful for this opportunity and my abilities that have gotten me to here and have made me who I am
reset.
You have to sometimes reset and we have a lot of guys who are good at that and then we have some, you know, but there's sometimes the young guys who this might be their first go in professional baseball and the good thing is, it's important in the locker rooms to have some leaders, some older guys who have been there and done that, and can from a peer perspective remind them how awesome they are, and then they get right back on the horse, and it's good to see. But I do like my group I have right now. They're really connected with each other, and they have strong resolve, and we've seen some success lately that's really, I think, catapulted them to another level of play, and we're playing good baseball right now. It's good to see.
All right, so I don't want to keep you too long. This is just kind of like an introduction. I think you should definitely come back though, and we'll have some inspirational chats because it's always fun and always inspiring. Anytime you get a coach, a manager, anybody like such as yourself on the phone, it's always so fun to just hear what inspires you, and you certainly inspire other people just by, you know, a sentence. Can you talk about, first of all, did I miss anything that you want to talk about? And then where I was going to go was, can you do me a favor and talk about some of the players? Like, let's chat them up. Can we do that? Or
yeah,
do you want to do that? Yeah, let's chat up the guys.
Yeah. I'd rather talk about the guys than myself. So these guys, I mean, it's so fun, the recruiting process, and to find guys and bring them in and have them, you know, have success under you. And you know, there's this one kid who I'll bring up Scout Knotts. He's played at University of Maine, actually. I signed him in the middle of the year here recently, like maybe a month ago. And he went through the grind that, that takes all the perseverance and resolve that a person could have.
Right.
He played at UMaine. He played at UMaine. He did well, but didn't end up getting drafted. And then he went out and played and was actually at the California Winter League where I was coaching last year. He played. Nobody signed him out of that. It was a league where, 36 guys got signed to go play in independent baseball or more. And he didn't get picked. Even though he's 6'6", he swings a pretty good bat, but he's an outfielder and there's a lot of competition in the outfield, at this level. And he didn't get picked. And so then he went to another one of these developmental leagues with the Black Sox, with a good friend of mine, Joe Torre, who runs this league for guys who are free agents who want to get back into professional baseball. And he played all summer with that. For about a month and a half, ended up being the MVP and winning the batting title in that little, developmental league. And, luck with that. We had a couple injuries, and I needed a guy. And, my relationship with Joe, he's always helped me out when I needed a guy in a short, in a quick moment. And he brought up Scout Knotts. And Scout, I was like, oh, well, he played at UMaine. And he played in the California Winter League, and I was down there, and I I didn't really remember him because we didn't play against him very much.
Yeah.
The games we did, he was sent. And then, so I said, okay, Joe, he was your MVP, he was your best hitter, bring him over. I'll take him. And he came in, and right away hit well enough to, earn a role in the lineup. And last week, he was player of the week in the entire league, and he hit like .688. With an OPS over 1,200, I mean, it was just a crazy week for him. He couldn't not find the barrel, and he was fantastic. And so he got recognized league-wide. And this is a kid who was, I never played professional baseball until I signed him right there.
Don't you love that?
And take the reins with that opportunity. And just dive in. And he's like a happy-go-lucky kid. He's just out there working hard. And doesn't get phased, and it was so awesome to see him have that success and get the recognition for it for last week's performance.
I love it.
So it was pretty cool. Good story of sticking with it and believing in yourself, even when you've heard the word no so many times, and then finally when you get an opportunity, grab it and taking advantage of it.
As you were talking, I'm like, I'm writing down notes. So his name is Scout. And then how do you spell his last name?
Yeah, it's like Knott. K-N-O-T-T-S.
Got it. Okay, I'll have to Google him. Maybe we'll have him on, huh? A little bit of believing in yourself there, Scout.
Oh, my God. Great.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally going to do that. But talk about the moment on his face when he realized somebody believed in him finally.
It was, when I signed him and I put him in the lineup, he looked at the lineup card and he was just like jazzed up, like excited, like, all right, let's go. I can't wait. Yeah. And it was a time where we had lost a few games. And so to see that energy, change in the locker room, just to see, how excited he was to be in the lineup. It was kind of neat, and it brought a different energy, and, we ended up playing well. So, it's infectious, the positivity. It can be infectious in a good way, and, he's one of those guys that brought that kind of energy to us.
Yeah.
He was the smile, grin to grin, cheek to cheek, the grin on his face.
He probably needed a phone to call his parents. Okay, I might not put this perfectly, so and then we're going to go. But talk about people who might not be the best player you've ever seen in your life, or, everybody discounts them or whatever, like, no, or whatever. But then that little extra either coaching, development, helping them see the belief in themselves, whatever it is, that little extra thing, and they suddenly just flourish. They blossom like, you know, like what you were saying, 688, you know, all this stuff. How do you find those people? Like, is there a certain intangible about him that you can't quite put your finger on? I love intangibles.
No, the guy that gets brought to mind is this kid we have, Sam Frontino. And he, you know, dealt with some injuries in college, never really had a full college season, you know, some leg injuries and stuff. But I was able to coach him down this California Winter League, and he's actually from, you know, close to Cleveland. He's from, 30 minutes outside of Cleveland, which is where we're located. And but he's one of those guys that in a one-day tryout, you're not going to go, oh, I need this guy on my team. You know, he's a smaller guy, you know, has average pop in his bat and plays pretty good defense. But then I was able to coach him over the course of a month down in California. And he just would take competitive at-bats. He had an eye for the zone. He made every play that came his way. He could run the bases pretty well. He was a positive influence to his teammates. You know, he worked out hard. He was a grinder. And, you know, he's one of those guys that said, okay, you know, I'm going to take a chance. I'll bring you to spring training. And I brought him to spring training. And, again, same attitude. He could get on base. He could, you know, hit with two strikes. He could make every play on defense. He was rooting for his teammates. He was pressuring them to go to the gym with him. You know, he was kind of doing all these little things. And, you know, but he could, you know, you ask him to hit a home run, and, you know, it's probably not going to happen. So,
right.
But all these little – that's why I love baseball. This is one of the reasons why I love the games, because there's so much more to it than hitting the ball over the fence. And he, you know, persevered, beat some guys out, and just continued to do all the little things right. And then, you know, I gave an opportunity, and boom, he was on the opening day roster. And then,
love it.
You know, he was in the lineup for the opening day, and we beat the Quebec Capitals, who, you know, are a storied franchise in the Frontier League. And so he's playing second base for me in opening day. But then you know, we go 2-3 weeks later, and I've got from Puerto Rico. I had a kid coming in from, you know, he played in the Puerto Rican national team, good kid. And so this kid, Sam, got pushed out, and eventually I had to let him go. And I told him, Sam, just stay ready, because you never know what's going to happen. And sure enough, a guy has to go away to play for the national team. And I said, Sam, why don't you come on back? And he came back, and as soon as he came back, he upped his level of game, and now he's pitching, and, you know, he's kind of doing anything he can to help the team win.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just said, here you go. Take advantage of this opportunity, because you never know what's, you know, you never know if this could be it. But every day he's out there working his tail off and finding ways to be a good teammate and help the team win. And just the energy he brings is incredible. So he's a great story, because, you know, I took a chance on him. And that's why I love doing what I do, because these guys can get overlooked just like that. And then they're off. You know, the game passes them by. But to give a guy like him that opportunity, for him to grab it and run with it and do everything he can within his power to be successful, it's kind of neat to see.
Yeah, no, I love it. Those are the things that analytics can't quite get a grasp of, is what it is. There's just things that analytics just can't do. It's just like when you see somebody who's pitching slower, and everybody puts the guns down and just starts talking, you know, and they blow it off. And I'm like, you missed like every story and everything about this person or these people or whatever. And so it's not always analytics. And I get that, you know, there's benchmarks and things like that, but, you know, that's it. Like you said, there's just more to it than that. Before we go, I keep saying that, but, you know, I love your stories. What do you think about somebody who thinks they're great, and is uncoachable.
Oh, it's tough. It's tough.
There's all sorts of personalities, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and that can be a detriment, because if you can't,
or maybe they are
desired to continue to learn. I mean, if you're not open to listening to other people, this is one of the things I always tell guys. I say, listen, you, I'm going to tell, like, I do it at every camp or every practice I run. I say, I'm going to tell you some things that I know about the game, and you can take it or leave it. It's up to you, but what I need you to do is listen to me while I'm speaking, so that if there is something that I have to say, I really want you to grab one thing from what I have to say, and hopefully that's going to help you improve that little percent, that today's 1%. If you can get 1% better today because of something I said, then I've done my job. Even if you've heard everything I've said before, and maybe I'm saying it in a different way, but it's the same thing. But you always have to at least keep your ears open, because you might catch something. And the key for some coaches, they get offended when the guy doesn't want to do everything that they tell him to do. But the fact is that it's their game to improve. So I understand that rationale, that because I've seen coaches just ruin players at the same time. But I always tell players to have an open mind. To try something, always be willing to try something new, but then when the chips come down, do what you think it's your game, your life. So do what you think you need to do to have a positive outcome. But when they're closed ears and they're overly confident and cocky and think that they're the cat's meow and above everybody else, then that doesn't really play that well. It's tough, and hopefully in what you in your recruiting process, you have enough guys that can handle that on a peer level. You have good leaders and good captains in the team, and guys who can see that attitude and maybe nip it in the bud from a teammate perspective before a coach has to step in. But when you get that, but that's the thing, it's competitive. So if you put out something that the guy who's making the decision, it's like you don't bite the hand that feeds you. So if you want to act like a jerk, and then to the guy who's writing your paychecks or giving you the job, I mean, that guy's going to end up
doing something else.
Telling you to go home.
Exactly. There's plenty of people. This time we are going to go. I have thoroughly enjoyed having you on the show. Thank you so much for saying yes and being here and sharing all of your expertise and knowledge and stories. And we learned a lot. So I'm very grateful for your time and energy. Is there anything before we go that I missed or that you want to add or anything like that?
No, I'm just really thankful you had me on, and I really appreciate what you're doing and helping people, see the brighter side of things and feel confident in themselves. I think that's huge. I'm really impressed with what you're doing, and
thank you.
Encourage you to keep going. I'm really excited to see your third book. And,
thank you.
I love the from the ground up stories, and it seems like you're one of those. And it's really nice to see. So thanks for having me. It really is. I'd love to come back.
Oh yeah, please do. And best of luck to do you have a rest of the season going on? Like when's your season end? Hopefully
we end on September 3rd.
And is that into the postseason?
Yeah. Then there's the postseason and we're on the outside looking in right now, but, maybe we do some, maybe there's some magic to still be had here at the end of the year.
We'll all start. Praying to the baseball gods. All right. And I'll put all the links, everybody. They are real. They are very real. Trust me. All right. Thank you, Jared. And what a wonderful show, everybody. Thank you so much to Jared Lemieux for being here. He's a manager of the Lake Erie Crushers. I'll put all the links up. And he's got a really great main connection as well. So, all right, Jared, thank you so much. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening. We're so glad you tuned in. Be brave, be bold, be you, and remember to visit us at besteveryou.com.